We have to get on our own resources in America. If we do, we can cut out 60% of OPEC oil.
Oil, natural gas, wind, water, solar, nuclear.
Industries of energy.
We've got fantastic opportunities to use new technologies to secure the American people and at the same time be better stewards of the environment.
You have questions, we have answers.
Listen carefully.
You can't really be against hydrofracking and say you're an environmentalist because immediately the default options are fuels that are much less clean.
For the next hour, Sean Wilson and Butch Black explore the energy industry with news and interviews from around the corner and around the globe.
Nuclear is one of the directions that we should innovate in.
The Exploring Energy Show begins now.
A very, very good Monday morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Sean Wilson, Butch Black, out sitting on the, he's out on the gas plant. So we're going to welcome him back whenever he gets a chance. Understand he's got to do his day job. Here's what's going on at Elk City Meals on Wheels. The menu of the day, 1510 West 9th Street. Call in your order, 225-225-5821. That's 225-5821. Open from 11 to 1, Monday through Friday. Regular meal, $6. That's a drink and dessert included. Senior citizens, just $5 bill. $5 bill. That's all it's going to cost you at the Elk City Meals on Wheels. Here's what's on tap today for the 21st of March. Smothered chicken au gratin potatoes, carrots, salad, roll, and cherry cobbler. Smothered chicken au gratin potatoes, carrots, salad, roll, and cherry cobbler. That's what's on the menu today for Elk City Meals on Wheels. Go by there and tell them we sent you. Call in an order. Feed your office. $6 a person. Can't be a deal like that. If you got some old farts working there, just $5. Did you hear that, Gabe? $5. St. Matthew's, 11th Annual Friday Fish Fry. Every Friday until the 1st or till the 8th of April. All you can eat, fish, fries, hush puppies, coleslaw, homemade beans, homemade desserts and drink. It's from 5 to 7 every Friday at the St. Matthew's Catholic Church between now and Easter. So between now and April 8th, you can get all you can eat fish. We're scheduled to have Oklahoma Corporation Commissioner Dana Murphy with us a little bit later on. Welcoming that. Well, we'll get right to the old Baker Hughes rig count on this month. Well, first of all, I'll give you Butch's portion of the show, the opening markets. West Texas Intermediate up $4.43 to $109.13. That's right. WTI, $109.13 a barrel. Brent crude oil, $112.93. That's up $5 even on the ICE Futures Exchange out of London. And NYMEX natural gas is down 8 cents, $4.78 per million BTU. But prices are being affected by what's going on over the Iranian deal with the Ukrainian deal. It's just craziness in the world right now, folks. Craziness. All right, here's your Baker Hughes rig count. It's stayed steady at 663 as it was a week ago. That is still 252 more rigs than 1 year ago when we were sitting at 252 for the total for the United States. Of those 648 of the 663 are on land, 3 on inland waters, and 12 offshore rigs going right now. Of those 663 on the Baker Hughes rig count this morning, 524 drilling for oil, 137 drilling for gas, natural gas, 2 geothermal wells. That's one more than a week ago. 606 of them being drilled horizontally, 36 directionally, 21 vertically drilled wells. Here's your state-by-state variances. Alaska stayed steady at 8. California also stayed steady at 7. Colorado stayed steady at 14. Kansas added one rig to the Baker Hughes rig count. See, their independent rig count in Kansas have them actually up 6 from 40 to 46, but only one of those being serviced by Baker Hughes, apparently. Two gainers in Louisiana. That's the largest gain of the week, 56 to 58 in Louisiana. Now, New Mexico, they lost one from 98 down to 97. North Dakota lost one from 33 to 32. Ohio stayed steady at 12. Unchanged was Oklahoma at 49, just shy of half a hundred. Pennsylvania stayed, they lost one from 25 down to 24. Texas has 320, as it did a week ago. Utah stayed steady at 12, unchanged as West Virginia. 11 active drilling rigs on the Baker Hughes rig count. And Wyoming stayed steady at 15, no change in Wyoming. 316 in the Permian, 66 in Haynesville, 55 in the Eagle Ford, 36 in the Marcellus, 33 in the Williston, 28 in the Anna Woodford, 14 in the DJ Niobrara, 12 in the Utica. Still have 3 in the Granite Wash. So there is your Baker Hughes recount on this Monday morning. Well, will the war cripple Russia's oil production? One expert thinks so. We've been talking about it on this show. So here is what this expert had to say. Think the Europeans will need to buy or will need to get with buy without Russian crude? You're 100% correct, but are you thinking anywhere near big enough is the question of this. Most of Russia's oil fields are both old and extraordinarily remote from Russia's customers. Fields in the North Caucasus are either tapped out or were never refurbished in the aftermath of the Chechen War. Those of Russia's Tartarstan and Bashkortostan provinces are well past their peak. And even Western Siberian fields have been showing diminishing returns since the 2000s. With few exceptions, Russia's oil discoveries of the last decade or three or deeper, smaller, more technically challenging, and even further from population centers than the other fields that they would be expected to replace. Russian output isn't in danger of collapsing, but maintaining output will require more infrastructure, far higher upfront costs, and ongoing technical love and care to prevent steady output declines from something far worse. While the Russians are no slouches when it comes to oil field knowledge, they were out of circulation from roughly 1940 to 2000. Oil technology came a long way in those 60 years. Foreign firms, most notably super majors BP and Shell, and service firms like Halliburton and Schlumberger, have collectively done work that is probably responsible for half of Russia's contemporary output. The Western super majors have left, all of them. Just as the Ukraine war began, Exxon and BP and Shell have walked away from projects they'd sunk tens of billions of dollars into, knowing full well they won't get a cent of compensation. Halliburton and Schlumberger's operations today are a shadow of what they were before Russia's previous invasion of Ukraine in 2014. Between future sanctions or the inability of the Russians to pay them off, pay them with hard currency, those operations now risk winding down to nada, to zero. The result is inevitable, as it is a damning. At least 50% reduction in the ability of Russia to produce crude. No Chinese oilman cannot hope to keep things flowing. The Chinese are worse in this space than the Russians. The outstanding question is, how soon will this all happen? Sooner than you think. It's an issue of infrastructure and the climate. First, infrastructure. All of Russia's oil flows first travel by pipe, in some cases for literally thousands of miles before they reach either a customer or a discharge port. Pipes can't dodge. Anything that impedes a single inch of pipe shuts the whole thing down. In the post-Cold War globalized order, when we all got along, this was something we could sing, song, skip right away. But with the Russians dropping cluster bombs on civilian targets, as they started doing on February 28th, not so much. Whether the Russians destroy the pipes with their indiscriminate use of ordnance, like they've damaged the radiation containment vessel at Chernobyl, or Ukrainian partisans target anything that brings the Russians income, much of this system is doomed. Second, the climate. Siberia, despite getting cold enough to literally freeze your nose off in October, it doesn't get cold enough. Most Russians' oil production is in the permafrost, and for most of the summer, the permafrost is inaccessible because its top layer melts into a messy, horizon-shaped swamp. What the Russians do is wait for the land to freeze, then they build dike roads and drill for crude in the long dark of the Siberian winter. Should something happen to consumption of Russian crude oil or any of the millions of feet of pipe that take that crude from wellhead to port or to consumer, flows would be back up through the literally thousands of miles of pipes right up to the drill site. Just back them straight up. There's no place to store the stuff. Russia would just need to shut everything down. Turning it back would require manually checking everything all the way from well to the border. Last time this happened in the Soviet collapse in 1989, it took millions of man hours of help from the likes of BP and Halliburton and 32 years for Russia to get back to its Cold War production levels. And now with war on the Ukrainians, insurance companies are canceling policies for tankers carrying anything Russian on seas Black and Baltic. And while the French seized Russian vessels and the Russian central bank under the strictest financial sanctions ever, it is falling apart again. So the Russian infrastructure, it's definitely in a quandary. So we'll wait and see. We're going to have Dana Murphy on the other side of this commercial timeout. Stick around. We'll take a quick pause for the cause, and we'll be back with her right after this.
Stay informed with the latest news from the energy industry with Sean and Butch on the Exploring Energy Show.
Could you use up to $7,500 to jumpstart your future? The people of Oklahoma Oil and Natural Gas are looking for the next generation of game changers who will find new and more efficient ways to produce the energy that fuels our life. That's why they're providing scholarships to students interested in pursuing a degree in the oil and natural gas industry. They need your energy. If you want to be the future of energy, visit oerb.com/scholarships to apply today.
Big Elk Auto Mall is now hiring gas and diesel mechanics and helpers. Immediate openings for experienced gas, diesel mechanics, and helpers. Even if you currently have a job, they want to talk to you. It could be a better deal than what you have. They offer great work environment, competitive pay, holiday pay, vacation pay, and paid health insurance. Mechanics must have own tools. Apply in person at Big Elk Auto Mall, 1019 East Highway 66 in Elk City, across from the Civic Center in the old Schlumberger building. Big Elk Auto Mall is an equal opportunity employer.
We are no longer taking 2 to 3 years to get teeth straightened. We have several cases that range anywhere from 3 to 8 months. Fast braces are amazing. It's a patented wire system with advanced brackets that help to move and rotate the teeth at the same time. They are very fast. Traditional braces go through a different series of wires. Fast braces is all one wire. We had a particular patient, and I mean, he was done in 3 months. Mom was ecstatic. My name is Jamie Cameron, and I am a dentist in Weatherford at 129 North Bradley, a block north of Brahms.
Also at Liberty Dental in Carnegie on Main Street, right next to the movie theater.
JamieCameronDDS.com. You can also visit us on our Facebook page, JamieCameronDDS. Where we treat you like family and do life-changing dentistry.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean and Butch.
Yes, it is. Safety Flow NDT, pardon me, tens of thousands of pounds of pressure on a pipe is extremely dangerous. Who's inspecting your flow iron? Whoever it is, they need to know what they're doing. Their certifications need to be up to date. Their people need to be trained really well. They need to have the right equipment. Well, Dustin Nix at Safety Flow NDT has been doing this for 15 years. He's so confident you'll love the job they do. He's offering a big discount to first-time customers. Pardon me. Safety Flow NDT will inspect the first 50 pieces of pipe on the first job you order for free. That's a $1,500 to $2,000 savings. Call Dustin Nix at Safety Flow NDT, 580-383-0136, 383-0136. Another one of our great sponsors, Oakey Construction and Welding. They're looking to hire multiple heavy haul drivers. Love it when people are providing employment. They're also looking for mechanic shop technician. Oakey Construction and Welding in Clinton is looking to add experienced heavy haul truck drivers to their growing company. Drivers will be home every night. Don't make light of that. Drivers will be home every night. That's big time stuff. Must have a Class A CDL license, 2 years experience required. They're also looking for mechanic shop technician, assist lead mechanic in daily repairs, maintenance of crew truck, fleet, trailers, and heavy equipment. Perform routine inspections, wire trailers for lighting, change oil, and the such. Mechanics will be home every night, just like the drivers at Oakey Construction and Welding. They'll be home every night. Must be able to lift about 50 to 75 pounds. Must possess a regular driver's license and 2 years experience required. To apply, call or text 580-821-6785 or fill out an application online at OakeyConstruction.com, or you can call their office 580-547-4252, 547-4252, or online application at OakeyConstruction.com. So glad to be able to have this young lady. As I always say, she pretties up the show in a hurry. And we're so glad to have her. Dana Murphy, chairperson of the Oklahoma Corporation Commission. Good morning, Dana. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm hoping we're going to have rain, especially out west.
Woo.
Warm and rain.
Oh, we're supposed to have 90% chance around our part of the neck of the woods, but they act like not much more than a half an inch. But any at this point would be blessed, no doubt about it. Well, it's cooling down out here. Is it heating up at the Corporation Commission? What is going on up at the OCC?
Well, our big news today is the start of electronic case filing.
Right.
So you know how it is with any transition. There's usually a few bumps and sometimes a few bruises along the way, but hopefully it'll work out. So today's the day of starting where you can get a password. And then eventually we'll be shifting to this. So, you know, I questioned a little bit our timing about starting the Monday after spring break. But, you know, I wasn't the director in the plan of communication. I'm just the one that gives the practical reality to a few things. And I think sometimes we need a little more of a dose of that.
I agree with you. But yeah, it's going that way, and it's going to make it much easier, more streamlined for people to electronically file, correct?
Right. And it's just going to make it a lot easier to search. I mean, that used to be one of the, you know, the issues that was raised. Well, how do we find this case number, or how do we find this if I don't have the cause number? And so I think a lot of changes have been made. So ultimately, it's kind of like, you know, when you went from the flip phone to the smartphone,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't always really smooth, but I think this is going to really help with being able to, like I said, search documents, find things. I think it'll take a little more time at the front to actually file documents, but you can now be able to pay with a credit card, which I think is going to be fabulous. That's something I've wanted for, I remember when I first became a corporation commissioner, I thought, why couldn't we do electronic or, you know, credit card filing at the commission? Because you think about the Pike Pass and all of that. So it's only been almost 14 years in the making, but we're almost there.
Well, you know, anything worth working for, it, you know, nobody said it would be easy and nobody said it would be quick, you know, so it is, but it is, that is kind of the way of the world now. It's much easier to pay with the plastic. You know, and so, and you got to make it easier for your consumers. But now, also, I've been noticing that intents to drill. How are we looking in that area?
Oh my gosh! I mean, that is such a fabulous point, because I think it was the week before last, it was 47 intents to drill. The week before that, it was in the 30s. So I don't know if we could say right now, you know, mid-30s is about the average, so it's really been incredible. So very optimistic and positive news for the, you know, the oil and gas industry. You know, you hate it if it's because of other people suffering in other parts of the world.
Right.
I don't think that's the total impact, but all of these things have such an impact. And who would have thought that, you know, 4 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago, all these things would have been converging. And it's just, it's fascinating to me to look at the geopolitical concept because, you know, we had talked about it before. How could anyone have envisioned that oil would be negative on a particular day?
Mm-mm.
And then we've exceeded $130 a barrel. But I think it all goes to prove that world security and stability and reliability and having what human function right now is always going to include fossil fuels. I mean,
right.
It's in my lifetime. I just feel like we have to learn how to do better with what we have, whether it's, you know, dealing with methane emissions and other components. I mean, that's what I always thought about with our farm and ranch. You know, you learn to evolve. You learn to do things in a better way. And it's good for people. It's good for the planet. And so I think there's a lot of lessons there. But the reality is, you just can't rely on energy for people who are just not your friends. It's just, I think that's really, you know, America learned that lesson, and thanks to the ingenuity of, you know, the oil and gas industry plus academia and so many other things. I mean, we're going to continue to need fossil fuels.
Right.
We just need to learn how to utilize it better.
You know, and even beyond the fuel part of fossil fuels and just the hydrocarbons that is used in so many other things besides gasoline and oil, you know, and it's just
so many products, and I don't think we really think about that until some of these things happen and you think, oh my gosh, I didn't realize we relied on, you know, these different pieces or these different components for things. So, you know, I think you're totally right. And then I wanted to make sure I mentioned, you know, we're, you know, moving forward on, you know, the orphan well plugging money that's come
right
from the federal infrastructure bill. You know, the challenges are going to be, I think those draft guidelines just came out. And, of course, you know, it's always federal bureaucracy at its best, right? Where it's a lot more requirements and some restrictions by an agency that really weren't written into the statute. So I think we're going to be challenged a little bit to meet some of these deadlines, because I think the deadline for being able to, I don't know if it's obtain money or some component, is in May. Well, they just got the draft guidelines out and they're waiting for comments. So, you know, I don't want to just be looking only at the negative side. I'm a realist. I like to think optimistically. And then I like to think pragmatically and look at things realistically. And it's kind of like farming and ranching. You know, if you're not optimistic, why are you in this business? I
mean, right.
I tell my brother that. But you have to be a realist about what things cost and what your manpower resources are. And so I think on the orphan well plugging, I think it's a great program to provide jobs, you know, help the environment, reduce liability. There's so many positives to it. It's just the devil's in the details, and hopefully we can get that all coordinated and worked out.
You know, and I was looking at some of that, too, and it was like, oh, hey, listen, we got these millions of dollars to plug these wells. But then some of the, you know, some of the restrictions and regulations, and like you said, the time crunch, you're like, okay, the money's available, but you're not going to really be able to get it. It's almost like dangling a carrot, or, you know, maybe, hey, look at us, what we're doing. But then realistically trying to get it done on the other end, you're going to lose about 50 to 60% of the money if you don't make the timelines and follow all the regulations. So you're right. There's the devil's in the details. You put that very well.
I'm just grateful that Oklahoma already had a well plugging program. Some
yes.
states are going to have to create one.
Right. Now, the way I understand it, some of these wells are a little above and beyond what the OERB is able to sustain, is what from what I was told by somebody else. But maybe I'm wrong on that. Do you understand
now,
what I'm trying
yeah,
to ask?
Yeah, Yes, you're definitely accurate, because I think I mentioned before about 1.5 to a little over 2 million flows through the well plugging fund generally. And that, just a reminder, that comes from funding off the petroleum excise tax. So when the petroleum excise tax is down, the dollar amount is lower. So now that prices are higher, you'll see more funding go into the petroleum excise tax, which allows that. But the problem is, you know, once you've drilled almost 600,000 wells in your state, there's a high percentage of wells that have been abandoned or orphan wells from many early time frames, and that really becomes a state liability. And the sooner you can get on top of that, that's really great, but we just have to be thoughtful about, you know, there's some wells that are legitimately not producing because, you know, different components. Maybe there's some kind of an infrastructure issue.
Right.
Maybe there's some kind of, you're already on a producing lease. So I think the world of that big number that was provided for the number of orphan wells, that's the big picture, and there's probably a smaller subset within there. So, again, you know, the commission has to continue to work to refine their data because, you know, you still have that issue. The records weren't the greatest back when wells were drilled in much earlier times.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you just got to rely on somebody to come up with, hey, you know, I was plowing and I got into an old wellhead. I mean, because that stuff really happens, no doubt about it. Well, like you said, I know there are a lot of other states that would like to have what we have in place with the OERB and that, you know, that reclamation program they have through a voluntary tax, I might add. And so that's pretty good stuff. Dana, we're at the bottom of the hour. Can you stick around for just a little bit? I know you're traveling, but if you could stick around, I'd sure like to talk to you on the other side of commercial timeout.
That'll be great.
Fantastic. We're visiting with Dana Murphy, chairperson of the Oklahoma Corporation Commission. We're going to continue our visit with her right after this.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean and Butch.
When you're producing a well or bringing a well in order to move fluids around on that job site, they hook up high-pressure flow iron pipe. When they do that, it can go up to pressure as high as 15,000 pounds. So what we do is we take that iron once a year and we do an annual inspection on it, a visual inspection, a UT inspection, pressure test, and then we band it and hold on to the certifications during that annual period. What I'd like to do is I'd like to offer 50 pieces inspected for free on the first job that you call us out on. That's probably going to be around, depending on the pieces of iron, it's going to be between a $1,500 and $2,000 discount. Safety Flow NDT. Just call me, Dustin Nix. My phone number is 580-383-0136, 383-0136. We'll go to work 24/7. You can call me at any time. If you're in a bind, we'll get a crew out there to get you taken care of.
And now, a Best Fiends affirmation.
The most popular person at the office is only on level 30 of Best Fiends, but you're on level 2,374. And suddenly, good old Becky doesn't seem so cool anymore.
Best Fiends is the 5-star rated puzzle game with over 7,000 challenging levels of brain-boosting play. Download free from the App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends.
Play Best Fiends. Download free.
We are a lubrication and filtration company. We sell lubrication products and filtration products.
So if they've been using somebody else, why should they even consider Camrock?
We could probably be just as competitive or beat their pricing, but our service is top-notch. We love to take care of our customers and have a great customer experience. We take it very personally. We want you, not only just as a customer, but as a friend, to have your need fulfilled. If you need a product, we want to get that product to you because we know how important it is for you to keep on running and doing what you need to be doing. Nobody likes to wait. Nobody likes to pay high prices, any of that kind of stuff. And so we want to communicate to you when we can get that product to you, how we can get that product to you, and try to give you the best pricing that you can get. My name is Sean Estes, and the company I work for is Camrock. Give me a call at 405-301-5803. 405-301-5803. Come see us at Camrock. 2111 South Main in Elk City, right behind Fred's Steakhouse.
Sean Wilson and Butch Black with the Exploring Energy Show return now.
And thanks for sticking around here on this Monday morning. We're going to get back to Oklahoma Corporation Commissioner Dana Murphy here in just a moment. But first of all, sustaining Oklahoma's energy resources. We were just talking about SOAR and OERB. OERB, the mothership. SOAR, a division of that. Their upcoming educational opportunities where they keep you compliant and keep you, just educated. They're going to get those going back. The WeldFit Emission, okay? It's going to be a Zoom meeting. It's going to be the 23rd, so day after tomorrow. Join SOAR and WellFit over lunch to learn how ReCap Emissions Recovery System. That's a pipeline depressurization and gas recovery solution that eliminates the need for voluntary natural gas flaring or venting associated with blowdowns during common pipeline operations. So WellFit Emissions Recovery System, that cost is $15. It's a Zoom meeting. It's going to be March the 23rd. You can register online at SOAROK.com. Then also a little bit later in the month, the OCC Field Inspectors Open Forum Luncheon. Have questions for your local field inspector with the Oklahoma Corporation Commission? Well, they're going to have a luncheon at Ada, the community center, 700 North Mississippi there in Ada from 11 to 12 on March 31st, last day of the month. You can also register online at SOAROK.com. And then in April, on the 21st, they're going to have Chemicals 101. Learn how chemical applications work and how they can benefit your marginal wells. That's all at SOAROK.com. Or you can download the free SOAR Connect app, meaning it's have all that information at your fingertips. Quick and easy access to SOAR's Lease Pumper Handbook. It's a native app, meaning it can be easily accessed in remote location without Wi-Fi or internet. And it's for a free download. Available now at the App Store of your choice, Android or iOS. It's sustaining Oklahoma's energy resources. Big Elk Auto Mall is also hiring gas and diesel mechanics and helpers. Good gravy. Class A CDL drivers and anybody that can turn a wrench. They're in high demand right now. Immediate openings for experienced gas, diesel mechanic, and helpers. Even if you currently have a job, they want to talk to you. Big Elk Auto Mall, a progressive company right here in the old Schlumberger building. They could have a better deal than what you have. You never know till you find out. They offer great work environment, competitive pay, holiday pay, vacation pay, health insurance, paid health insurance available. Mechanic must have their own tools. Apply in person at Big Elk Auto Mall, 1019 East Highway 66 in Elk City. Across from the convention center, the old Civic Center, and the old Schlumberger building. Big Elk Auto Mall is an equal opportunity employer. Get back to the phone line here to this pretty young lady and Dana Murphy with the Oklahoma Corporation Commission. We just talked about SOAR and the OCC putting on a little seminar down in Ada.
I think that's great. I really like it. You know, I feel like no matter what, no matter where you go with technology or how much you can do things better with it, there is no substitution for relationships. And right. That's fundamental to maximizing, really, technology. And sometimes I have to remind a few people at the Corporation Commission of that, because I think moving forward and using some of these, applications and some of the things, again, that we can do with technology is great, but you want to make sure that you have those relationships where you can talk with people about various issues. Nothing substitutes for that, and I think we constantly have to be reminded of that. I've never forgotten that, when you're raised with that, and I'm great now to having Zoom meetings, hosting meetings, team meetings, but nothing substitutes for being able to meet with people, talk with them, at least by phone. I was also going to mention, too, Sean, that tomorrow will be our vote on the Chapter 5 rules, which are the rules of practice, which will include some updates on the electronic case filing situation. And then our Chapter 10 rules, which are the rules of really operations for oil and gas. So there's been some changes there. One of the biggest changes that got a little controversial has been dropped out now, and it was about if your well hasn't produced for 12 months, the commission may ask you to run a fluid level or do other testing, and there was just some controversy. I think we need to work on it a little bit more. I think conceptually what the staff wanted to do was a good thing. I just think the impact was going to be, it's kind of one of those things that we've talked about before. Identify what the problem is and right size the solution to it.
Right.
Don't make such a big solution that you're probably going to have some unintended consequences, and I think that's what happened. So I appreciate the staff met with industry numerous times. Both myself and Commissioner Hyatt expressed some concerns about it. And so what they've done is pull it back. They'll continue to look at it and work with industry. So I'm pleased they've done that.
Right. You know, and you're right. The unintended consequences, at least you're looking at those. I think a lot of government entities, you know, they make a ruling and just expect you to like it or lump it kind of thing, you know. And I appreciate the fact that the Oklahoma Corporation Commission is looking at what consequences does it, you know, what kind of burden does it put on the operator? What kind of burden does it put on the land and the lease owner? I mean, there's a lot of people that are involved with this industry and looking at all the different levels and different layers. I think that's how you come up with what they used to call synergy, you know, where you bring a lot of ideas together and you focus on the process and not the people, and then attack the process and try to get the very best process you can for all those involved.
Yeah, I think it shows good collaboration, and we did that also. You know, we just recently, since you and I spoke, adopted the electric vehicle rules.
Right.
So that's going forward. I give the staff a lot of credit because we did not support the emergency rules, and they dug in and worked much harder with the industry, took in a lot of input. And, you know, there may be some things I would have liked to tweak here and there, but you also can't let the perfect get in the way of the good. And I still look at it like this industry in Oklahoma is still more of a baby industry, which we've talked about, you know, so to speak, with wind. And I definitely think it's going to mature along, but I'm so glad that we've, you know, kind of gotten as far as we've gotten. So,
well, you mentioned the electric vehicle, and I know that you guys were trying to write everything, get everything in order for, well, regulation of charging stations, because I mean, you guys regulate the flow and accuracy of gasoline pumps. You would make sense that you would want to regulate the flow and accuracy of metering for charging stations, and so
we're, oh,
go ahead.
That's right. There's definitely an analogy to that. It's not the same, but it's similar. And I think a lot of times it's not, kind of like with anything. You don't always have to reinvent the wheel. You can look at some other industries for some things that are helpful, but we also have to look at what some other states have done. Because I've said it numerous times, I'm always a little concerned when the regulatory body is at the tip of the spear. I think it's always good to kind of learn lessons from others, and you don't want paralysis by analysis, but you also don't want to be so reactive and you're so out front that if you'd have just waited a little longer, maybe that might have been a little bit better. So there's that, you know, continual lessons learned. So our rulemaking process will go through the end of March. They have to be over to the legislature by April 1st. So that deadline is coming up, you know, fairly quickly. And then, you know, things at the legislature, boy, they're definitely hopping. I mean, you know, we've talked about it before, but it seems like the best offense over there is a good defense.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
It's a challenge because, you know, you've seen some bills where I think they're well-intentioned by some of the legislators, but, you know, there was a requirement saying that the utilities should start running their power plants 5 days ahead of a major storm. That doesn't even take into account the Southwest Power Pool and really how things actually work on the balancing side. And then there's been some other bills, and I know all the legislators are trying to do their best. I always try to start out with everyone has a good intention. You try to start from there, and then you evaluate it, is how I look at it. And sometimes those good intentions, you learn maybe they weren't such good intentions, but I always want to start from there.
Sure.
But I think some of the things that have been proposed, it shows kind of a fundamental lack of understanding of how utility regulation works under existing statutes in Oklahoma. And, you know, so many people have talked about deregulation. I think it's good to keep an open mind about it. Well, when you look around at many other states that have much higher electricity rates and have had all kinds of problems that we haven't had, I think you have to, you know, just be thoughtful in doing it. And then, you know, we've talked about it before, but the FERC has this task force, you know, that's still ongoing, looking at the issue of, you know, transmission planning and construction. And I still think the biggest challenge for our state is going to be, you know, the cost of transmission, because what most people don't realize is the 14 states in the Southwest Power Pool footprint, almost 16,000 miles of transmission have been built in Oklahoma. If you compare that with Kansas, I think they have about 8,000, parts of Texas. All of Texas is not in the Southwest Power Pool, but that counts about 9,000. Well, there's a whole lot of other members, states in the, you know, looking at cost allocation, but you really have to look at how much money's already been spent. And it's not like all Oklahomans have paid for all of that.
Right.
You have to look at it like there's a sharing of cost among the 14 states. But when you look at the load ratio or the share that Oklahoma has for the customers, that's one of the highest percentages of all the states. So anytime there's a cost sharing, you look at, you know, load ratio, you look at the load in the state. So there's always going to be a cost, usually a higher cost for Oklahoma. So you really have to be on top of all these things. It's been a challenge during my 11 years on the Southwest Power Pool. And, you know, there's wonderful things that have come through the Southwest Power Pool, and then there's other things that are challenges. But that's really kind of how it is with almost, whether you look at federal regulation or state regulation, or you look at this regional transmission organization. You have to be thoughtful about, you know, taking away state, you know, kind of managing certain things that are, you know, maybe really state-oriented.
Right.
That come through the regulatory commission versus what's for the greater good of many. And you always have to constantly be doing that balancing act, the one in the many, the one in the many. But I think that's true for life, not just at the Southwest Power Pool.
No rest for the weary, no doubt about it. What is the best way people can stay in contact with the OCC or with yourself, young lady?
Well, I've always given out my number, and if I can't help you, I'm always happy to have my assistant, or we can guide you to somebody that you could talk to at the Corporation Commission. So my office number is 405-521-2267. And if people generally just want to go to the website, like you wanted to learn about what's this electronic case filing and what do I have to do, go to OCC, I think it's the OCC.gov. Yeah, eWeb.
Yeah.
If you'll go there, we've got already information. I've been working, and Commissioner Hyatt's been working with Matt Skinner. We're doing these regular updates now. We want to try to help and assist people in this transition. But that's one of the best places to go to find phone numbers or emails. And then if all else fails and you do not know what to do, just call my office, and we are happy to help you.
405-521-2267. Or online at www.occeweb.com. You're awesome. Thank you so much for carving out time to visit with us this morning on the Exploring Energy Show. Look forward to the third Monday of every month, young lady.
Hey, Sean, I appreciate you so much, and I'm just so hopeful that we'll have some rain and that we'll find some peace in this world. You know, it's never easy to find that, but you have to have a will and a want to. And my heart just continues to go out to just people challenged, not just in Ukraine, but all over the world. And again, it just reminds me of relationships and the value of those. And Sean, I really appreciate my relationship with you, developed over the course of almost, you know, 14 to 15 years. I'm really incredibly grateful. So thanks for having me on the show, and I hope I've been helpful.
You're welcome. We'll continue to keep you and our other leaders in our prayers. Thank you so much, Dana. Have a blessed day. Dana Murphy, ladies and gentlemen, chairperson for the Oklahoma Corporation Commission. I'm going to take a quick break. Come back with the mop-up segment of the Monday edition of the Exploring Energy Radio Show right here on 96.5 KECO.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean Wilson and Butch Black.
For the business I've done with the oil field, they got to see your face. They got to see somebody coming in to see them, whether it's weekly, biweekly, monthly, whatever the customer prefers, that's what we're going to do.
We sell all types of industrial hose and fittings. Hydraulic hose, oilfield suction hose, lay flat hose, all types of fittings, hydraulic fittings, Chemlock fittings. We also carry black pipe fittings, air brake fittings for semis, brass ball valves. In the oil field, sometimes you get a call for a crazy, hey, can you get this? And you go find it for them. Oil field or agriculture. So if your farmer need a hose built, you can come in, we'll build it. You're a oil field customer and need us to come out and see you, we'll come out and see you and take an order or pick up a hose, build it, bring it back to you. My company is American Hose and Supply. Come by and see us at 2111 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma, in Camrock Building next to Fred's, or call me at 580-821-4413, 821-4413.
Big Elk Auto Mall is now hiring gas and diesel mechanics and helpers. Immediate openings for experienced gas, diesel mechanics, and helpers. Even if you currently have a job, they want to talk to you. It could be a better deal than what you have. They offer great work environment, competitive pay, holiday pay, vacation pay, and paid health insurance. Mechanics must have own tools. Apply in person at Big Elk Auto Mall, 1019 East Highway 66 in Elk City, across from the Civic Center in the old Schlumberger building. Big Elk Auto Mall is an equal opportunity employer.
A Lazy Boy is the only one that the seat and the arms move separately when you lay back. You can slouch back in a Lazy Boy without putting your feet up, and the arms stay in place while the seat moves forward. Everybody else's chair, the seat and the arms move forward, eliminating much of your lower back support, which is the main reason people buy a recliner. My back hurts. When the back of your chair and the arms of your chair move out as the back of the chair goes back, it naturally creates a hole in the very back of the seat. Because the seat is moving forward, the back is moving backwards, there's nothing left there to support your lower back. But with a Lazy Boy, the seat and the back are hinged together. So no matter what position your back is in relative to your seat, I don't care if it's 45 degrees or 110 degrees, there's still support in the lower back.
This is ammunition for husbands to tell their wives, honey, there's a reason I sit in this chair. It supports my back.
Yes, my back hurts, dear. Can I get a new Lazy Boy? You know, that's a good way to go about it.
Terry's Furniture Showroom.
We're at 2001 South Main in Elk City, Oklahoma, right behind McDonald's.
Sean Wilson and Butch Black with the Exploring Energy Show return now.
And I'm back. DCP Services, that's where old Butch Black is, making a real living today. They're offering fully insured contract pumpers, roustabout services, plant consulting, and also they have backhoes, tractors, forklifts, mowing, trenching. They rebuild Chemray valves and controls. They rebuild Western Chemical pumps to like new. They're baked, completely redone, repainted. Just the tag is the only way you could tell. Plus, they sell and repair Tex-Am solar pumps, other solar pumps, and their wireline division has both braided slick line capabilities for all of these services. Call Jeff Davis, 580-660-0501, 580-660-0501, or Butch Black, 580-303-1886, 303-1886. And Ernie Barker, 580-339-1773, 317 North Van Buren. They've got a major supply store right there for pipe valves and fittings geared toward pipeline processing and production. Give DCP Services a call. Tell them we sent you. And Allegiant Land Services, they're an unmatched energy solutions company. They are truly honest, efficient, reliable. You can contact them online at AllegiantLand.com. AllegiantLand.com. Right in this rural community of Sealing, Oklahoma is their headquarters. They have the knowledge to bridge the gap between company and community. Their clients are provided with team members equipped with a well-rounded education in the oil and gas industry, as well as wind and solar negotiation and land ownership. From acquisition, project management, and consulting, it's AllegiantLand.com. AllegiantLand.com. Allegiant Land Services and Consulting, an unmatched energy solutions company. Their Sealing, Oklahoma office, 405-883-7007. 405-883-7007. We heard from Brock Kalk a moment ago. You know what? American Hose and Supply, they understand that you need somebody to supply you. Call them. They'll bring it to you. They'll stock you up. They'll bring it when you need it. But you don't like to do long-distance relationship. You've got to see their face. They'll come by and see you when you want them to see you. American Hose and Supply inside Camrock on South Main Street in Elk City next to Fred's Steakhouse. Here's that number, 821-4413, 821-4413. And lastly but not leastly, this outfit right here, Camrock, really surprised to find out what they really did. I guess I had this notion that they just supplied oil and gas companies. But you know what? They're out there for the farmer and rancher. Anybody that uses lots of fluids or filters, Camrock can take care of what you need. That's why you should choose Camrock. They want to get to know you. They'll take care of you. For bulk fluids and filters, call Sean Estes at Camrock, 405-301-5803. 405-301-5803. Camrock's located on South Main Street in Elk City next to Fred's Steakhouse. Butch Black still out in the field doing his real job, if you will. I'll go ahead and give you some of the weather. We visited a little bit about it with Dana Murphy. Really appreciate her as well. But slight chance of showers today, then showers and possibly a thunderstorm this morning after 10 a.m. in our area. High near around 58, southeast wind, 16 to 21 miles per hour. Boy, that wind been beating it the last several days. With gusts as high as 29 miles per hour, chance of precipitation, 90%. New rainfall amounts between a quarter of a half an inch possible. So not looking for a whole lot, but I mean some better than none. Tonight, showers likely, a possible thunderstorm before 10 p.m., then a chance of showers. Mostly cloudy with a low around 35, east wind about 11 to 16 miles per hour, becoming northwest 19 to 24 miles per hour after midnight. Winds could gust as high as 33 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 70%. New precipitation amounts between a quarter and a half of an inch is possible. On Tuesday, a 20% chance for showers before 1, mostly cloudy with a high near 50. Windy with a north wind, 26 to 33 miles per hour, gusts as high as 47 miles per hour. That's tomorrow. Wow. Well, it looks like they've taken the kind of the snow out of the forecast that they were talking about, but still, we need some moisture. We got 90% today, 70% chance tonight, 20% chance tomorrow. Should start warming up by week's end. 73 is supposed to be the high on Friday. So if you don't like the weather, stick around a day or two or 20 minutes and it'll change. That is Oklahoma for you. Anyway, okay. So Butch Black still gas plant, but we're going to try to make it by until he gets back, no doubt about it. He thinks this week ought to pretty much wrap things up. I'm going to give you some energy news in my briefs here, as I know that's Butch's favorite. Here we go. The Brandon administration on Friday last week said it would resume plans for oil and gas development on federal lands following a court ruling this week that temporarily restored a measure meant to factor the cost of global warming into federal decision-making. That carbon tax I was telling you about. White House Press Secretary Peppermint Patty, Jen Psaki, urged operators of gasoline stations to pass on the recent retreat in oil prices to Americans. Retail gasoline prices are updated at least daily, and if gas retailers' costs are going down, they need to immediately pass those savings on to the consumers, she told reporters during a briefing. So now it's the gasoline station owners that's to blame. Boy. Houston's Ranger Energy Services reported a 51% increase in their fourth quarter earnings. Net income of $24.4 million increased $33.5 million from a net loss of $9.1 million in the third quarter of last year. Senator John Barrasso, Republican Wyoming, introduced legislation that would ban U.S. imports of Russian uranium, as the Brandon administration considers similar sanctions on Russia's nuclear energy company Rosatom, a global supplier to power plants. The Tennessee Valley Authority, which is the largest federally owned utility in the United States, plans to invest more than $3.5 billion in new gas-burning plants to replace coal-fired generators, in a move that contradicts the Brandon administration's effort to push the power sector toward renewable energy sources. Tennessee Valley, they know what's up. They know that they can't get it through renewable energy. Durr. The EPA adds eight more Superfund sites in Michigan, Minnesota, New York, Oregon, South Carolina, Tennessee, Wisconsin, and West Virginia. Here is the closing markets, or not the closing markets, but the close of the show. 109.72 for WTI. It's up 502, 560 up for Brent crude oil, trading at 113.53. NYMEX natural gas down 8 cents to $4.78 per million BTU. Still up over the 450 mark. Well, I better tell you myself, because if I don't, I know Jimmy will. Cousin Jimmy Clark put it on me on the golf course this last Friday afternoon. That's just one time, Jimmy. I'm gunning for you. Hope you enjoyed today's show. For all of our great sponsors, I'm Sean Wilson. Thanks so much for listening. I promise we'll talk again. You tune in 96.5 KUCO in Elk City. Have yourself a great day.